The Fantasy Edge with Jonathan Chan, Kevin Kuo, Richard Seville.
Hello and welcome to The Fantasy Edge. This is our first podcast of the 2019 fantasy football season. Glad you're with us to talk a little bit of off-season football, preseason. We're in that little area between where there's nothing happening and training camp. So we're filling up a roster, a little bit of Scott Fishbowl talk. Kevin and I are both competing in it amongst 1,200 other people in the Scott Fishbowl League. Apparently it's quite popular this year. Getting a lot of discussion on Twitter. And so today we're going to be talking about the the topics to open the season. We'll over the weeks as we go along, we'll be talking about specific positions in depth. But for our very first program, we're just going to go over what we've seen in the off season and what we're seeing coming up in 2019. Generally, just a general discussion today of where things stand as we approach August and preseason in general, and what we're drafting and what we're, our targets are, sleepers and so forth. But I'd like to say hello to our friends that, if you followed us last year, Jonathan Chan and Kevin Mo. Jono, how's it going, man?
I am fantastic, Richard. How you been?
Pretty good. Kev, how are you this fine July day?
Yeah, I can't complain. Not doing too bad, but glad to be back talking some fantasy football.
Sure is. I want to start it off with you guys, and now we haven't spoken actually on the podcast since the free agency. We didn't do a rookie discussion. That was sort of handled on another podcast, if I recall back at the time. But let's sort of get into a bit of the news. And Kev, I'd like to start with you on this Melvin Gordon and Zeke. These holdouts. You think both of these will get cleaned up before week one?
I'm not sure. I mean, we all saw the video probably. If you haven't, I think I retweeted on my timeline Melvin Gordon on some NFL Films production saying that if the Le'Veon Bell thing happened to him, he'd hold out too. So a little bit of worry there, I guess. I mean, my biggest concern about the Melvin Gordon thing is that he just, while he's pretty good, pretty talented, he hasn't been the most productive, most healthy back. So it's kind of hard to, if he really wants $10 million, I can't imagine the Chargers actually paying him that. Zeke, I'm not really too worried about, but since he's kind of like the heart of the offense, that type of thing, I feel like they'll pay him. Melvin Gordon, I am a little nervous about.
John, if Melvin Gordon does hold out, a lot of people are jumping on Eckler, at least they did in the Scott Fishbowl. But is it actually Justin Jackson who's the guy, you think?
That's a tough one. I think between the two of them, they might split it. Last year when Gordon got hurt, Eckler didn't do too great as the lead guy. Justin Jackson showed a lot in his couple games as the lead guy. And I think I've seen Eckler drafted like 40-something in my mock drafts, and that was ridiculous. So based on their prices, Jackson's a better draft, but I have no idea where the Chargers are going to go with that one if they have to split.
Kev, what's your take? Fishbowl aside, where would you go with it?
To be honest, I'd probably just take Eckler. I take everyone at the same spot. I'd probably drop Melvin Gordon down a little bit. Eckler, he's already kind of a useful satellite type back, maybe a half round to a full round higher. But I don't know. I'm not really going to try and speculate and trying to figure out what's going to happen with these guys. So to be honest, I'll probably just avoid them.
Yeah, where I stand with it is pretty much the same. I think everything's on hold. I really just think don't panic. It's a long way to go till week one. I'm sure the Chargers will work something out, and that's kind of the same way as I feel about Zeke. The only time, I mean, if you're drafting early and they haven't settled anything by mid-August, and your draft is already one of those mid-August drafts, I'm not sure if I think I'd pass on him actually. Because he's right up there. You're gonna get a high value player anyway, who's roughly in his range. So you can actually pass on him, the way I feel about it. I think that goes for Zeke as well. Because if you're drafting Zeke, Zeke is in the top five. So if Zeke falls out of the top five for whatever reason, for holding out. But how far would Zeke drop? I think Le'Veon Bell dropped late first round is at the worst. I think when his holdout was beginning to solidify around late August. What do you think, John? Where would you, if nothing's sorted by late August, are you passing on Gordon? I guess obviously, right?
Late August, I'd probably pass on Gordon just because what we've seen with Bell, obviously. But see, there's a kind of a different situation. The Steelers knew they had James Conner as a solid backup. I think with the Chargers, they only have so many years left with Phillip Rivers, and if they need to sign Melvin Gordon, then they need to do it, or else their window's probably passed. Honestly,
Kev, last word on this.
I don't really have much, to be honest. It's weird. The holdout situations are always weird. When the Le'Veon thing happened, it was kind of more concrete. Le'Veon was kind of more adamant. And, you know, you knew you could at least get James Conner, who could be a three down back. But with these guys, I mean, if you're doing an early draft now, I probably would pass on Melvin Gordon, but I might take Eckler earlier just because worst case scenario, he's still going to play that satellite back role and you can still get some value.
Right.
That scenario, you're getting an RB1.
Well, I was more or less thinking about, like, if there's no deal signed by the time it's the third preseason. I mean, if he's not in the dress rehearsal game.
Yeah, then I'm definitely worried. I'd probably pass on him. I mean, like you said, there's a lot of similar guys that you can get probably around that time. I mean, you can probably look at, you know, maybe getting like a Damian Williams or even reaching for a Dalvin Cook. I'd probably take him over an unsigned Melvin Gordon.
Let's move along to a couple of Steelers are on different teams. And I wrote about this in a recent article. And they're a bit of a concern for me. A lot of people don't care. They think Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell are just going to be just fine. But I don't think so because I checked on Football Outsiders and Le'Veon Bell in particular is going to be on the Jets, who are 32nd in stuff percentage, which, you know, if your running back's getting stuffed 25% of the time, stuff means, you know, you're not getting positive yardage. And if a quarter of your carries aren't getting positive yardage, but I mean, Le'Veon Bell, I mean, sometimes if it'll really test his mettle if he's really a great back, because great backs can overcome a bad offensive line. But, Jono, what do you think of... start with Le'Veon Bell. We'll talk about Antonio Brown later.
Le'Veon is the difference between Isaiah Crowell and Elijah McGuire, right? I think the Jets are an underrated offense. They do have nice wide receiver pieces with Robbie Anderson, Quincy Enunwa, and Jameson Crowder. It all depends on Darnold. If he can actually hit his receivers and play decently well, I think Bell won't be a bad draft pick. I don't think he'll lead the league in stuff percentage. That's for sure. He's too patient, too skilled for that. But, I mean, he won't be Steelers Bell. I don't think, anyways, unless the jet ski time really, really helped his athleticism.
Well, he's a jet skier. I didn't know that. Kevin, Le'Veon Bell, do you like him? Would he be a choice for you in the first round?
No, I think I probably have him ranked the lowest out of all of us on F6P. I think I have him ranked RB13, I think. Most of the things that you said are things that I'm definitely concerned with. The offensive line is an issue. They upgraded a little bit with Kelechi Afemli, but I'm not sure that's enough. On top of that, you know, my tendency to kind of fade players from bad offenses, and I think this could be a bad offense. There's, you know, bad offenses just means, you know, he's not going to score as many touchdowns.
That's right.
He's going to catch a lot of balls and he's going to be involved in the offense. I mean, just because you're talented doesn't mean that it's necessarily going to be a great thing. I mean, we could look at David Johnson last year who didn't have a good year because the offense was really limited. So as talented as Le'Veon is, I'm kind of fading him and there's 12 guys I'd rather have ahead of him.
Continue on with Antonio Brown to the other Steeler that was making noise and who can't seem to keep his trap shut on Twitter. Maybe he will now. But he's moved to Oakland. He hasn't got Big Ben, Kev.
It's concerning. He's on the wrong side of 30 now, and he's with a quarterback who we all could tell last year really, really underused Amari Cooper. But to me, I think Antonio Brown, I think you've got to just kind of lock and load him as a wide receiver one. He's going to get a ton of volume. He's the type of guy who's really an alpha, so I really don't think if he's not getting the touches he wants, he'll say something about it. And then, you know, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. So I can't see him getting less than, you know, 180 targets this season or whatever it is. Right. And I think his value is going to be high.
Yeah, I think he is more of the alpha receiver than Le'Veon Bell is an alpha back. So what do you say, Jono? Are you keen on drafting Antonio Brown in an early round, or would you leave it for somebody else?
No, I wouldn't avoid him. I mean, he's Derek Carr or not. I mean, he's still Antonio Brown. He had a career high in touchdowns last season. He had 1,568 targets. He's still Antonio Brown. Amari Cooper's usage was a slight concern, but I think the difference between Brown and Cooper to John Gruden and Derek Carr is a massive thing, and he'll still get the volume, and he'll still be wide receiver one, maybe not the best in the world, but well worth a second round pick where he's going now.
Yeah, I'm a little bit more at ease with Antonio Brown with Oakland. And I know that there is this thing where Derek Carr, a weird thing happened before Amari Cooper got traded. Like, Amari Cooper was just terrible, not getting the ball, just not catching well. I don't know whether if it's just the style of Carr or whatever it was. But anyways, Amari Cooper goes to the Cowboys and suddenly he's playing like we sort of expected he should be. And so it kind of makes me wonder about what's going on with the Raiders system. Because that's obviously because a player just doesn't go to another team and is suddenly better. I mean, Amari Cooper finished out the season really good. I mean, yeah, there was a couple of fluky touchdowns he got. But overall, Cooper was catching everything and being the WR1 that, I mean, not high WR1, but he's medium WR1. Medium to low. So I just wonder if that Raiders syndrome is going to affect Antonio Brown. Now, I will say this. Raiders syndrome didn't affect Michael Crabtree when he went there. So, but I mean, I don't count the Packers guy. Is it Jordy Nelson? I don't count him because, I mean, he wasn't the number one going over there. But Antonio Brown is. So, anyways, other topical player, Kev. Kareem Hunt, do you still draft him late, even though he's coming into a system where Nick Chubb actually holds the, you know, the bell cow spot?
I mean, I can see it, but do we know what's his suspension size? It's 8 games, right?
Yeah,
8 games.
Yeah, for half the season. I mean, I don't know if I want to really waste a draft spot on him. I think there are similarly ranked players around him who can, you know, give me the full 16 games, and they don't have to deal with Nick Chubb in that offense. So, I mean, I think Chubb is the guy. I think if Hunt comes in, he'll kind of play like a, not a change of pace, but he'll be a more of a complementary piece. I just don't really see like the Browns investing in Chubb and then bringing in an outsider to kind of take over that backfield. So, as talented as Hunt is, he's also a scumbag. So that's another reason to not draft him. And I'd probably just stay away from him as an all-star game.
I take it you're of the same opinion, Jono.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not taking him as a surefire starter. I think the biggest thing with Hunt is that if you're a Nick Chubb owner, you have to draft Hunt just in case. Like, you can't take Chubb and then not take Hunt. You have no idea what's going to happen in, you know, in week 9 or week 10, whatever it is. And you have to be prepared for that contingency. If Hunt somehow gets, you know, 40, 50% of the carries, then you're screwed as a Chubb owner if you don't have him.
Well, the thing is that it's 8 games. So if Chubb gets hurt before Hunt is ready to come back, you've got, well, you guess you got to have Duke Johnson or one of the others. I don't know if Duke Johnson's the kind of back that can handle a larger workload. He hasn't actually had it. Well, to be honest, he hasn't really had a chance to be able to prove it with the, because when Duke Johnson came in, it was Isaiah Crowell, I believe, was on the team at that time. Little bit of noise about Rob Gronkowski. Now, Rob Gronkowski is, we all know that he took a pay cut to stay with the Patriots. He wants to retire as a Patriot, and he currently is in retirement status. Jono, in Scott Fishbowl, people are drafting Gronkowski.
People being me.
And including Kev. Well, maybe it's best to start with you, Kev, on this, because you've actually drafted Gronk. And so what's your thoughts on this 40% chance, they say, that he's going to come out of retirement?
I mean, Scott Fishbowl is you're playing against 1,199 other people, so it's kind of all upside. And, you know, if Gronk comes back I don't know, week four, week six. It's not like he really needs to practice that much. I think he'll probably instantly just be a contributor. And if he's, you know, if he's Gronk, then, you know, I think everyone can obviously see the upside. If he doesn't, if we go throughout the year and it's becoming more and more clear that he's not going to play, then I'll just drop him. It's not really a big deal. And then, you know, 22 rounds worth of picking, I think I got him around 18, maybe 19. It's not really a big deal to me.
Yeah, and it doesn't, nothing, even if Gronk comes back, it doesn't affect Edelman. It's just any other receiver after Edelman. And if Gronk comes back, that's who it affects. Honestly, I don't think he comes back. Gronk is a very stubborn person. When he's made his mind up, he makes his mind up. I'm not saying he's, but he loves his dad, and he's very family orientated, kind of guy. So I really don't think he comes back. I think, Jono, I think somebody said that he was throwing footballs with, practicing with Tom Brady, but that really doesn't mean anything to me.
Yeah, I mean, he can toss the ball around, but it also looks like he's lost about 50 pounds of muscle. So if he wants to come back, he won't be the same Gronk.
No.
He lost 19 pounds, and it legitimately looked like he lost 40.
I mean, he looks like half the person he was. It's ridiculous how skinny he looks right now.
He looks like a wideout.
And it's not only that, it's just that the reason the Patriots already lured Ben Watson out of retirement, and he's on suspension. So... Which is kind of weird.
I mean, you get Gronk back. You just get Gronk back. You don't care about the rest of your team. You don't care about Matt Lacoste. So, oh no, we're going to stunt his development. You just get Gronk back.
The number one quarterback, there's always a number one quarterback in the league, and there's always one quarterback that goes early in the draft. Last year, well, for a number of years, it was always Aaron Rodgers. We have a new number one, the one quarterback that goes early in drafts, and Mahomes. Now, a lot of people say Mahomes, just because he's numero uno, a lot of people are quite orthodox in their do not draft quarterback. I'm not one of those. I don't stick to orthodoxy when it comes to drafting quarterbacks early. I think Mahomes is a guy you can take in the second round. In fact, his ADP, as a matter of fact, on Fantasy Pros, sits at 23, which is coming near the end of the second round. So, which is probably more like the first round pick coming around the turn. So it's either early third or late second. Jono, could you take Mahomes in the second round if he falls to you?
Is it really falling in the second round? It's a little pricey, but if I'm the type of drafter that likes QBs early, then it still has to be Mahomes. What he did last year was great. Even without Hunt, he was still good. But it all depends on Tyreek Hill. If he plays, then Mahomes second round, sure, no problem. If Tyreek Hill doesn't play, absolutely not.
Hmm. Kev, does it depend on Tyreek Hill for you?
To me, Tyreek Hill, it's a factor, but honestly, I'm going to guarantee that throughout however many leagues I end up playing this year, I probably won't have Patrick Mahomes on a single one. I just think if you're valuing a quarterback at a second round, that's just too rich for my costs, especially since over the last 10 years, only one quarterback who's finished number one overall has repeated, and I think that was Aaron Rodgers in like 2013, and only like three times have they ever finished top three again. So regression is a real thing, especially with Mahomes, and he had a ridiculous touchdown rate this year. Again, if Tyreek is out, that's another thing that just drags his value down a little bit. Obviously, Mahomes is great, but I think, you know, you can probably do just as well with, especially like you guys saw in our mock draft that we did. Like, there's so many good quarterbacks available, and if you're in a league that only starts one, like, I'm fine waiting until taking the 10th or 11th guy off the board.
Yeah. I took him in the second round just being a dirt. Because it was, well, I was tired and grumpy that when we were doing that draft, so I was, I was just sort of like picking oddball things. It turned out that I came out as the highest rated guy in the draft. So.
No need to brag.
The horn is sitting here. I might as well toot it. So, where I stand on Mahomes, and this is how I really generally draft. I don't mind taking a quarterback early, but, the first two rounds are just too important to draft. It's not really a good idea to draft a quarterback in the first two rounds are just too important. Third round, yes. Third round, you've got a little more freedom. Third round is where you can draft a tight end or you know, or a quarterback, I feel is like, but the first two rounds are reserved to me, are reserved for running backs and wide receivers. It's just, it just makes economic sense for anything. When you get to the third round, sure, you got a little more freedom there. There's, you know, a lot of guys are off the board and you can sort of play around and with the strategy there. So the earliest I will take a quarterback is third.
I mean, end of second where Mahomes is sitting right now. You guys like Damian Williams, Fournette, like Adam Thielen, Devonta Freeman. These are not sure things by any means. And if you want to shore up QB, like I'm totally for that.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like Devonta Freeman. Yeah, exactly. And these, when you start getting into those guys into the third round, because there's usually all the good solid RBs are gone and the good solid wide receivers. You got to make sure you get those first two rounds are so critical. And I noticed that, Patrick Mahomes went in the second round in the Scott Fishbowl. But this brings up complimentary thing is now that Gronk's gone, it's Kelce, and Kelce's going in the first round. Kev, could you take Kelce in the first round?
Probably not. It's kind of the same thing with Mahomes. I kind of expect that whole offense to regress. And like you said, first and second round, it's not like a mantra I subscribe to, but typically I'm trying to grab a running back or a wide receiver. When I was doing all the research for the tight end preview, Kelce is great. Ertz, Kittle, all the top three great guys. But, there's a lot of guys that I really like kind of grouped tight end 6 to 14. I really like a lot of the guys there. So I think this year I might go with like a kind of strategy.
I tell you when Gronk was in his heyday, he was going like, first, I think he used to go in the first round. I kind of shake my head when people take Gronk because it puts a premium. Suddenly you're suddenly under pressure to get those other spots filled up. And, you're always chasing the rest of the draft. If you take Gronkowski, I feel like when somebody took Gronkowski, I think, well, you've taken the hard road, dude. So that's the way I get. What's your theories on, drafting tight ends, Jono?
It was easier when Gronk was a thing, I guess, when you can take, you know, that guy in the first round and you don't have to worry about the position for the rest of the year other than your bye week. But like Kevin said, with Kelce, if the KC offense regresses, it's not a sure thing. I think realistically, Kittle in the third or fourth-ish where he's going right now is a safer bet than Kelce is. But tight ends last year, I tried streaming them in like 3 or 4 different leagues. Awful. Worst experience of my life. If you can get a sure thing tight end, it's just peace of mind, and you can worry about streaming wide receivers and running backs, which is way easier than trying to guess which tight end is going to catch one pass for 2 yards and a touchdown.
I'm not going to make a bet on it, but I really have a feeling that OJ Howard will be the new number one after this for this season.
That's a hot take.
That's a hot take. I think O.J. Howard will be the new number one after this season. Kev, do you like it?
It's bold. It's definitely bold. I'd take your money if you wanted to put anything up.
Yeah, I'd take Hunter Henry over O.J. Howard.
Oh, I would not.
I would take Hunter Henry over O.J. Howard.
Have you seen, I decided, you know, I'm going to watch some more highlights. I didn't realize about how big OJ Howard is. You see these little safeties, so they look like little guys. These little safeties chasing after OJ Howard, man. They're just like they look little compared to OJ Howard. It's like they're afraid of him or something. You see them running up he's running down the sidelines. There's a little safety coming after him. You think, oh, this little pipsqueak, you know, flicks him with his finger, you know.
If you look at all of them, they're all just disgustingly big and strong and fast athletes.
Yeah, especially him. I think he's 6'6", and which definitely when a player's 6'6", obviously, I think he's 6'6", pretty sure, and monster size.
Is this the year Njoku cashes in on his size and athleticism?
The problem with Njoku, to me, I'll take this one first. The problem with Njoku is the targets, because you got Landry there, you got OBJ there. I'm kind of worried about target share with the Browns, so it's going to be hard for Njoku to get targets, at least I feel. What do you think, Kev?
Yeah, that's my concern too. last year, I think he had nearly 100 targets and kind of finished as like the tight end 7 this year. I mean, the hope is that his targets become more high value with, you know, OBJ, Landry, Callaway, you know, Chubb, all those guys. But when I list all those guys, those people are also taking away his targets. So, I mean, honestly, if Njoku is going to break out, I don't think it'll be a catches yardage thing. I think he'll just have to score a ton of touchdowns.
Yeah. He's definitely a good red zone choice. And, like you say, he's still up there for, like John says, you don't want to stream tight ends. You definitely want to try and get a good one if you can. And, the top four, I mean, I don't know, Kev, after the top four, well, I guess Njoku is after the top four, I think.
Yeah, if you're looking at the top four, then you're looking at Evan Engram, Hunter Henry, Jared Cook, Vance McDonald, David Njoku, Eric Ebron?
You did not. Eric Ebron's 8 right now.
Austin Hooper, you know, those kind of guys. So, yeah, the top, I would say the top three, O.J. Howard's not really like a sure thing to me, so I'll say the top three. And
top three, okay, sure.
There's that kind of middle 3 to 4 that people tend to like. And where I'm seeing a lot of value is kind of between tight ends 8 to 16. Like, I think a lot of those guys are really similar. Mm-hmm.
So are you, which Jono says he had a bad experience streaming tight ends. Do you think you could successfully stream tight end?
I mean, I don't think I can stream tight ends necessarily, but I do think I could probably juggle having two mediocre ones and playing the matchup there. And I think I'd be okay with that. If I had like a guy, or, you know, if I go into, I draft two guys who are kind of at the lower end, the tight end 1 ranking, kind of based on what we've seen, the volatility of the position over the last couple of years, I think, there's a chance, you know, one of those guys breaks out. Like, if you're looking, I mean, there's a lot of Mark Andrews hype. I don't think he's really like top tier tight end, but I think he's definitely serviceable and you basically get him free in drafts.
Yeah.
Jordan is another guy who everyone hates because he's always injured, but he's going to go into this season healthy. No one else on the offense can catch it. Guys like Austin Hooper, who's going to be pretty good. Mm-hmm. Jack Doyle is going back to be healthy. Delaney Walker is being slept on because he's old. So there's a lot of guys at tight end that I think have potential to be good players. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know if you really want to, like, I don't think to me, honestly, Jared Cook, Austin Hooper is not much of a difference. I'm not spending a 5th-round pick on Jared Cook when I get Austin Hooper like the 10th.
Yeah. Yeah. They're kind of bunched together, aren't they?
Yeah. It's like you can see in our mock draft, again, the one that we did. Mm-hmm. Everyone, or like, I think Fantasy Pros just did one too. Like, if you're playing with people who kind of know what they're doing, experts leagues, the middle tier tight ends are just pretty much being ignored. They're going in those types of leagues. You can wait really long on tight ends. But if your friends are drafting based off, you know, oh, this guy's AD is this, then maybe you got to think.
Okay. So, we'll move on from, tight end chat and, talk a little bit about, Kev, you brought up, Alshon Jeffrey and you got into, a little bit of discussion with one of our newer colleagues, John Lopresto, was it?
Yep.
About, I think you have a few back and forths with him over, but I think Alshon Jeffrey is one of the guys that was, so what's your take on Alshon Jeffrey? I drafted him in Scott Fish. Did you? I think everybody did.
No, I didn't.
Oh, you
I
didn't draft him. Joe did. Yeah. Boom, bust, or both?
How could he both?
One of the he's boom and bust, boom bust.
Oh, I think he'll shoot. He gave me 3 options, and I want to choose a 4th. I think he'll just be someone.
You could take a 4th if you want.
I think he'll just be, you know, steady guy. Like, I don't think he'll have crazy games, but I don't think he'll be useless for a lot of games either. I mean, my whole thing with him is, yeah, I understand that Zach Ertz is there. I understand they brought in Deshaun Jackson again and J.J. Arcega-Whiteside and Dallas Goedert is going to be there. But he's the number one receiver. He's the prototypical X-type receiver that's going to, you know, generally get at least probably 8 targets a game, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's talented enough to do stuff with that. Yeah, I understand that he's not the flashiest pick, but, I you know, I kind of like where he's going as far as ADP goes. I know you, I think in Scott Fish, he was ranked as like wide receiver 28 or something crazy like that. And I was I just felt that was too low.
Yeah, that is a bit low. I thought he's closer to 20. But I don't know. It's a mouse. You didn't mention Aguilar. He's still there. So he's another one. So
yeah, they got a lot of weapons on that offense, but you know, I think, Alshon's proven he's a big time prototypical tight end, wide receiver who, you know, who can dominate mismatches or, you know, just outplay his guy on the other side.
John, what's your take on the Philly offense? You talked about the receivers. What do you think about the it's a similar situation of mouths to feed in the backfield as well.
Yeah, I think the Philly backfield is not something I'm targeting, I guess, specifically. I know Miles Sanders has some issues with pass blocking, as far as I've been reading, which is always just a death sentence for rookie running backs. But, I mean, Jordan Howard is... Kevin, I guess we dealt with this last year with your Jordan Howard hot take, but not somebody I want to deal with. But like you said, Richard, it's too many mouths to feed and not something I want to invest in, I guess, around pick 70 to 80, where they've been going.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see who makes the 53 on Philadelphia. I don't think, you know, I think Smallwood's still on the team too, isn't he? I know they let go of Sproles. Sproles is a free agent. I think he still wants to try and play still. But yeah, the backfield to me, it's always been a hodgepodge type of thing. You know, they still got Corey Clement in there. Kev, this backfield too, it's a similar thing to the wide receiver gaggle.
Yeah, it's just a lot of different weapons. Josh Adams, there's a last year's leading rusher, is still on the team. So they've essentially got five backs there. Obviously, Miles Sanders and Jordan Howard stand out. One of you two might have to stop me, but I'm kind of talking myself into Jordan Howard again.
Don't do it.
At his ADP, like, it's pretty reasonable, I think.
It's reasonable, but I mean, as I guess he's good for a bench and cover your bye week.
Yeah, I mean, just, you know, there's a plethora of backs who enter the league with all the hype in the world and, you know, don't produce, and the veteran there gets at least one more year to do it. So, it's possible, right? I mean, not everyone can be Saquon Barkley. Not everyone can be Nick Chubb. There's always guys who kind of underperform expectations, and the veteran there does better than, you know, doesn't immediately just lose the job.
Well, it's the thing too, is that they tend to be, I noticed that there was a lot of hot hand that Peterson was doing. He was riding hot hands. Like, one week it'd be Corey Clement, next week it'd be Smallwood, you know.
Yeah. It could be matchup based, but I think those two separate themselves from the pack a lot. I mean, I think one is a second round pick and one is, you know, a proven Pro Bowler. So, you know, Smallwood, Adams, who's the third guy? I already forgot.
Corey Clement.
Those are all fine, but you know, they're not the level of talent as the other two.
Jono, you said, speaking of backfields, you said that Kenyon Drake, what's your issue, and Brian Flores, we'll talk about in a moment, but let's hear what you have to say about Kenyon Drake and your issue with it. Just before we came on, you were beginning to have a rant about it.
I mean, my issue is that with Drake, himself, maybe he's a good back, and given volume, he's shown that he can, you know, be useful. I think he finished within, top 15 running backs last year, even though he had like three good games that just killed it with volume and big plays. But I think Kevin, what was the exact quote? He said like he was going to be Shane Vereen this year or something like that, or he said something to that effect.
I've been reading that in an article, and I've been spending this whole time looking for that quote, and I can't find it, so...
What a player to aspire to is being Shane Vereen. I'm going to be the Shane Vereen this year.
He said he's going to play. He's expecting to play the Shane Vereen role in this offense. Did I dream that? Like, I don't feel like I want to dream that. That's
such a weird thing to say, though. Specifically, Shane Vereen. When is Kalen Ballage going to be the lead? Which makes no sense to me because he didn't look that good last year filling in. So
yeah, I mean, it was the I think it was an article where it was talking of who's going to be the lead back, Shane or Kalen Ballage or this new guy,
Miles Gaskin.
Yeah, Miles Gaskin, and it was saying that, you know, Kenyon Drake has already said he'll be, you know, Shane Vereen type of. I gotta find this article, otherwise you're just gonna think I'm a liar.
I just gotta wonder what.
I'll believe you. It's just such a weird thing for somebody like Drake who had, you know, two good years just to be like, yep, you know what, I'm gonna be a third down back now. I'm good.
Yeah, I know what running back aspires to. Who was the running back that was aspiring to be Barry Sanders? Or somebody said, you know, you always get these hyperboles out there. Who was it?
Darwin Thompson of the Chiefs.
Oh, Darwin Shaw. Right.
He could be the Chiefs, Barry Sanders.
Right. Somebody scooped him before I had a chance. That's why I had rubbish to go for in the latest round. And speaking of, before we came on, folks, I had a draft pick on the Scott Fishbowl, and... I needed a running back, but and these guys were trying to, you know, they were picking the most unsavory picks that not bad picks, but not exciting picks. And I always like the exciting picks, but picks with a little bit of intrigue. I don't like to settle for somebody like Doug Martin or Theo Riddick. Yeah. But I ended up taking a wide receiver, and this brings it into our next section, is the dark horse. And my receiver dark horse actually is, I'm looking at this Jake Kumerow guy, amongst others. There's others, but I'll take Jake Kumerow since I just chose him. There is a battle for the number two wide receiver. I know everyone thinks that Geronimo Allison has it locked up, but Aaron Rodgers really likes Jake Kumerow, and he said it on a number of occasions, and he's a strong receiver. He fights for the ball. He's just a really good all-around player. So I think that Jake Kumerow very possibly could be the number two receiver opposite of Devontae Adams. Kevin, you got one? Who's your...
So my guy is actually like super deep. If you draft him in your redraft league, you're probably doing something wrong. But someone to keep an eye on, Ian Thomas, second year tight end of the Panthers. He was tight end 10 over the last season. I said that some of that was about Cam, but you know, it applies. Sixth in yards for tight ends over that same span. You know, the only person kind of got a pass up on a depth chart is Greg Olsen, probably closer to retirement or like a pro outing. So I think that's going to be a good offense. I think, if Cam's shoulder turns out okay, I like Ian Thomas.
Interesting. Jono, who have you, who are you looking for at, who isn't, in the mainstream of, players that we normally choose?
Sticking with tight ends, I'm going to go with Mike Gesicki of the Dolphins. I mean, their number one right now is on the depth chart is Dwayne Allen, and we know Dwayne Allen is not going to be a consistent passing or catching threat. So
this could be the year
for Dwayne Allen.
Yeah,
is he going to catch four touchdowns in a game this time and screw over everybody?
Yeah, man.
Oh, please not. Could he not have done that last year with the Pats? Or absolutely not. Right? Not allowed. Honestly, if what everybody's expecting to happen happens, and Ryan Fitzpatrick goes off for the first five games of the year with a 500 yards a game, Gesicki will be part of that. And you know, he came in as a receiving only tight end, and last year he showed some flashes. He wasn't great. He wasn't particularly good either. But there were some flashes, some games where he showed some receiving ability. And if Fitzpatrick or Rosen decides that they like him as a target, then he can put us in good games. Very, very deep in your draft, but a decent option altogether.
Interesting. Yeah, Gesicki. Yeah, he was supposed to be come up last season, so, as you say. So, and he didn't quite.
I kind of had the same idea when I did the tight end review. If you just look at tight ends over the last couple of years, there's always a guy who comes just flying out of nowhere to post like a top 12 season. And you know, a couple things they need are just opportunity. And that's actually, you just need opportunity. If you look around the league at, which, you know, unknown tight end right now has a lot of opportunity. Secchi's right up there. And last year coming out of the draft, you're getting a wild athlete like Travis Kelce.
Okay. I'm just going to throw out some, random questions out here. Just a potluck questions. I'll start with you, Jono. And, these, don't worry. They're not too hard. They're off the board of our discussion topics, but, I've made them not too difficult. And so my first question to you is, John, we can all discuss this too, is Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs. Does Adam Thielen have a good season like he did last time, or does he regress, John?
I mean, he has to regress from the first half he had last year. He was just unbelievable in the first 7-8 weeks, and then just crashed down to earth when he wasn't getting 15-16 targets a game. I think he falls probably somewhere in between his first half and second half. Probably still a low end wide receiver one, good wide receiver two, but people are expecting him to be amazing, and everybody that sees his rating in Madden, which by the way I'm upset about, are going to be disappointed in what he does.
why are you upset? Oh, Kevin knows about it too. Kevin, why is it? He's
94 overall in Madden.
Well, that's pretty high.
Not 94.
That's pretty high.
It was just—it's off the charts. It's like, too high. People are gonna draft him, and they're gonna be disappointed, and then we're gonna yell at. So Adam Thielen, somewhere between last year, somewhere between his first half and his second half, and good wide receiver two is what he'll do.
Okay, Kev, my question to you: Chris Godwin's going at—he's ranked at WR19 on Fantasy Pros. Do you agree with that?
That's a little high for me, but I definitely see the upside. You're getting a Bruce Arians offense with Jameis, who's going to throw it all over the place. They don't really have good, solid running foundation. So most likely they're going to throw a lot. Their defense is probably going to suck. Mm-hmm. A lot of shootouts. Godwin is someone that I could see breaking out, produced really well last year without DeSean Jackson on the field. So semi-proven, I guess. The upside is there. I just don't know about wide receiver 19, a little bit high. But if you want to look for a guy who's got a lot of upside and good offense.
Okay, Jono, your question.
Okay, I thought that was just me.
He's gone.
Okay.
It was Shane Green. Maybe I heard it on a podcast.
Could be. Okay, I looked it up. Adam 94, Mike Evans 91. Get the hell out of here.
Keenan Allen 89. It's so bad.
Yeah, just out. No. This is absolutely not.
White privilege.
I mean, they listed Keenan Allen short route running at 82, and that's just an insult.
Did you see his rant? He was like, yep. Strength 63, like I'm a baby.
Sorry, guys. I pulled my mic. My USB came out of my mic.
I thought it was me. It's happened before. I was like, oh, crap. Okay, what do I do now? Okay.
What do you think they get Adam Thielen awareness?
I mean, what's the biggest impact on these overalls? It's like IQ, right? That's what drives. Like,
that's what it used to be. I don't know what else. I read an article that said they really weakened it. They overhauled it. A lot of the ratings more strict, which is why you only have like 499 or whatever. But
it was Richard. Did you hear what the ratings were, Richard?
Yeah, I did. I heard it while I was fumbling around here. Yeah, I did hear what you were talking about. 91. Who was 91 again?
So it's gonna go. It's Thielen 94, and then below him is Diggs, Devontae Adams, Mike Evans, and T.Y. Hilton.
Dumb.
It's a straight up insult.
It's an insult. That's not right. You can't go by. They can't go by straight up stats. Like I guess.
No, but all the dudes are better than Adam. AJ Green is better than Adam. Keenan Allen's better than Adam.
AJ Green's. God, I forgot AJ Green's not even on this list.
Emmanuel Sanders. We could do a whole podcast talking about
this. Yeah. We don't want to talk. Well, we're not doing Madden. That's kind of.
Or Kenny Golladay will not be a fantasy breakout.
let's talk about Delanie Walker being 92 overall when George Kittle's only 90.
It's because Delanie Walker can block. Actually,
Okay. Anyways, I'm on to our next question in fantasy, and this one goes to Jono. You're the Pats fan, Jono. This is kind of geared towards you, anyway. Sony Michel, James White, and Rex Burkhead still on the team, and I forget his name already. The new rookie,
the one making everybody sweat,
Damian Harris. That is.
Yep.
What's your thoughts on this backfield? Do you like Sony Michel anymore?
Yeah, I still like Sony. He's good. I mean, when he was healthy, I know he does have knee problems, which is why they drafted Damian Harris, but Sony was good. He was consistent. He showed he could, he had the speed, he had the power. He was really good in short yardage situations as well. I'm Pats fan through and through, but I'm still not drafting a Pats running back. It's been 10 years now I've been doing this. I refuse to draft a Pats running back.
Yeah.
I won't do it unless somehow, Zeke demands a trade and like NBA style. But I like Sony, but just my own philosophy. Pats running backs are too dangerous for me.
I think the best one to draft is James White. He's the only one. He's the only one I would draft. In real football, they're all good, but I think James White's the one I would. If I was forced to choose among those, James White is the one, obviously.
Only PPR, though. I wouldn't take James only White as standard.
Yeah, only PPR. Kev, your question is, sticking with running backs, David Montgomery or Tarik Cohen? Take your pick. Which one would you want?
David Montgomery.
David Montgomery? Why?
I don't know. I'm not a fan of, the running backs who are primarily pass catchers. I get Tarik Cohen is awesome. Yeah, but give me the bell cow. Give me the guy who can play all three downs. We'll take the red zone carries. We play different situations. I kind of, David Montgomery is, I mean, they traded Jordan Howard to basically clear up room for him to play. So I do like David.
Jono, Nick Foles, is ranked at QB 28. Is that too low? He's ranked below Marcus Mariota, Andy Dalton, Derek Carr, Matthew Stafford, Samuel Darnold.
That's not too low. We have no idea what Foles is going to look like in a different offense. Doug Peterson ran his offense perfectly. Foles fit in there like a glove, and we have no idea what it's going to look like in Jacksonville. The offense is inconsistent. Fournette's always hurt. Marquise Lee's always hurt, and we have no idea what D.D. Westbrook can be outside of, a small slot guy. So Foles has been inconsistent as well. And it's too much risk to be anywhere close to your QB1.
And Kev, Tom Brady, he's outside the top 20 in Fantasy Pros rankings. Do you agree with that?
I think you have to. I think Brady over the last few years, Jonathan, I think you can probably confirm this. He's just not the same fantasy quarterback without Gronk. It remains to be seen if, I mean, even outside of that, he's kind of declining fantasy wise. Obviously in the games that still matter, he's still amazing, but, last year they kind of transitioned to a running team with Sonny Michel, Rex Burkhead and James White getting a lot of the touches there. So, I think it makes sense. I know it's kind of crazy just seeing quarterback 20 by Tom Brady's name, but yeah, it is what it is. He's not that much upside.
Yeah. He's not angry this year, so he'll be fine. It was the angry Brady year after the 4-game suspension where he really took off.
Okay. And I'll stick with you, Kev, on the question of quarterbacks. Now, this is kind of a topical thing because I know that even though Joe Flacco is in Denver, will Drew Locke take the job at some point?
I don't think so. I think when Elway brought Flacco in, it was to be kind of a bridge quarterback until Locke is ready. It's not like Locke was a first-round pick, so they're not going to feel that much pressure to start him. I think Flacco will probably have a decent leash. I think if he's healthy, he can actually be like a quality starter, or, you know, at least an average starter. And I don't think he'll really give them a reason to bench him completely for Drew Locke, who, again, not a spectacular prospect. But I think he'll play out this season, and I think
you think they'll bring somebody else in, like, in next season? Or is this some say this is a make or break for John Elway in the front office? Do you think that's true too?
I don't see it, just because I think if you're John Elway, you can just say, like, well, I have Drew Locke, so let me get one season Locke and see how that goes. And honestly, like, if you just look at it, like, with Brock Osweiler, the guy with the mustache, I'm forgetting his name, the goofy dude with the mustache who's not on the team,
Chase Kelly.
No, not Chad Kelly. That's why I killed
Chase Daniels.
Yeah, what was his name? He was like, I think they took him like six overall. They took him out of some, like, no.
Paxton Lynch,
yeah. That's that guy's garbage. If they didn't fire him after those debacles, then, you know, he's got a way longer leash than any of us know. So I think.
Well, I think the head coach was pretty bad. He admitted it was one of his biggest mistakes was hiring this particular coach. I think
Elway probably finagled another year. I mean, he's a legend in Denver, so.
Yeah.
It's like the Magic Johnson Lakers thing, right? Like, he's just got to go himself. You know, he's not going
to
get.
Let's go back to another jumbled backfield, Jono. Let's talk about San Francisco backfield. It's a bit of a jumble. Last year, Jerick McKinnon was injured. He was supposed to take over the backfield. Matt Breida come in. He looked okay in spots. And you had this monster guy in Alfred Morris, and it was all jumbled up. It looks like it's going to be jumbled up again because Tevin Coleman's joined the team. You still got Jerick McKinnon there, probably going to be healthy, plus Breida's there. So what's up with the Shanahan offense in San Francisco?
No, I think this is it's going to be, well, not a complete split, but I think for the most part, this will belong to Tevin Coleman. He's the best back of the three between him, McKinnon, and Breida. A number one back, when Devonta Freeman gets hurt, he's proven he can carry that load. He's familiar with Shanahan's offenses. And, you know, he's just more suited to first, you know, early down carries more so than the other two. Breida was hurt all year last year. Obviously, McKinnon was after his unfortunate, serious injury. And I think even though it's probably going to be more split than, you know, we as fantasy owners would like, Coleman is going to be the highest volume and best one of the three. Tough to see how it's going to shake out, but he will be the best of the three for sure.
Yeah, and I also think that it'll eventually settle into a 1-2. And I don't know. I think Tevin Coleman's the main back, and they'll have somebody as the second. I think Shanahan will settle it down to similar situation as in with the Atlanta Falcons was with kind of like a 1-2 punch. And I think the third guy gets in as sort of relief work. I don't know how you feel about that, Kev, but
yeah. Makes sense to me. I mean, I think I agree with what Jonathan said. I think Tevin Coleman is the main guy.
Yeah.
I would bet on that. And then it's kind of a coin flip between Kinnon and Breida. Personally, I really like Breida as a player. I could see one of these guys getting traded to Bucks. That would be interesting.
Well, that begs the question then. Tevin Coleman at ECR 30, too low?
I think it's about right given the risk. I think if you're, you know, about 5 to 7 spots higher on him, that I like, I that makes sense to me. But, Yeah, I mean, because his upside is great. I mean, he's been in the Shanahan offense. We've seen what the Shanahan offense can do for basically scrubs. And, you know, I think that offense will go. And Coleman, the main guy you want there. So if you want to take a swing side, I do like Evan Coleman, probably higher than that.
ADP. Yeah, that's actually not ADP. It's an ECR. So I should be using ADP for the, but I don't have my ADP sheet up.
His ADP is 69 right now.
No, I mean as RB 30.
RB 30, yeah. Total, overall 69.
Overall 69.
So he's being ranked as the running back 30. Where is he being?
Let's see. ADP. Well, I mean, right now they're just doing, like, when you hit ADP on Fantasy Pros, he just says 30, 69. That's what he's got.
All right, well, I've got him 26, somewhere around there.
I mean, I'd for sure take him over Cohen.
No, that's not
it. Drake, too, probably.
Well.
Similar situations. Kenyon Drake, can never trust a man to get volume.
I don't know.
The year he fumbles on the goal line again and ruins overtime for everybody.
Oh, the year the Dolphins.
Oh, please.
I don't know when that's gonna happen. That's far in the future.
It'll be wide open when Brady retires, but that's not for another 15 years.
I think he's 80 or something wild.
That's a good question to pose. When's Brady gonna pack it in? I think it's. I guess it could be any year. It could be this year. Could be next year. You know.
If he didn't do it after a Super Bowl win, he's not doing it for like 3 years.
Yeah. If well, I don't know.
Unless he breaks down. But Belichick, if he didn't do it after last year's win, he's not doing it for another 2-3 years at least.
I don't know. It would be very unfair to Belichick if he had to bench him in front of the fans, if he goes bad, you know, like if, you know, if he has, you know, we saw the decline of Peyton Manning, right? You could see that Manning just wasn't, I mean, granted it was a little earlier in Manning's career. So like, okay, it happened to be a little bit, you know, Brady has a little bit more staying power than Peyton Manning, but when the quarterback goes, it's, you really notice the difference. I mean, okay, granted, like late in his career, Peyton Manning had that 55 touchdown year, but I don't know. I just would really hate it if Brady kind of didn't retire after a season and Belichick was forced to bench him. That would be very bad. Hello.
Yeah, I would hate. I know that would be tragic.
That might be his signal. He's gonna play until Belichick benches him, and he's like, "All right, cool, I'm done."
Yeah,
Brian Hoyer gets to start.
He's
actually
the backup?
Yeah, he is still. I guess he is. Yeah, he would be.
And you guys have Jarrett Stidham. Isn't he in that new movie?
I have no idea. Honestly, I'm just trying not to think about after Brady leaves.
Yeah, nothing.
Should be interesting. Well, okay, on that note, that's our opening show. Just a little bit of a taste test of things to come, of stuff we're going to be talking about in the coming weeks. So we could do one next week, or in a couple of weeks we'll talk about it. And thanks for joining us on the Fantasy Edge, everyone. And for Kevin, nice to see you back here. Nice to talk to you again, Kevin. And Jono, by the way, and also thanks for the advice on my Scott Fishbowl pick. And Jono,
didn't take Josh Gordon.
I didn't take Josh Gordon.
Number one for the season. There's like 420 more of these coming.
Hopefully he'll make the turn and I'll be able to get him on before round 22. Jono, nice to see you here, you again. And want to thank everybody for joining us on our opening season, first off-season Fantasy Edge podcast. Be sure to check all the other podcasts of Fantasy Six Pack at fantasysixpack.net, plus all the articles from we've got a very large writing staff with lots of different ideas and takes on the 2019 field of fantasy players. So be sure to check that out at fantasysixpack.net. I'm Richard Seville for Kevin Woe and Jonathan Chan. Take care, everybody. See you next time.